everybody. Live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. You know, everything sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Welcome, everybody. The buzz continues on our book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Matter of fact, my second guest, psychiatrist Dr. Denise McDermott, contributed to the book. So a lot of excitement. You go to hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Lots of great information, both on my co-author Sharky Zartman and my own at Sports Doc Radio. We've got a great doubleheader today. We're excited. We're going to have J.R. Nicklaus. He's a former National Football League player. He's the owner and director of Acceleration Performance in Naperville. I know these guys over the years. They've produced some of the top high-performance athletes. He's one of them. He's going to be joining me. And then again, like I mentioned, Dr. Denise McDermott, a child and adult psychiatrist. She's a contributor to Hey Sports Parents. She's the author of Mental Health and How to Survive. J.R. Nicklaus, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
What's going on? Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's great to have you and your great group. I thought let's jump right in and have you give us a little bit of background. I call it my who, what question, as who you are okay. And what you do. Give us a little bit of background involving you and Acceleration.
Yeah, for sure. My name is J.R. Nicklaus. I'm originally from Columbus, Ohio. I went to Ohio State University, was 18th string there, football player and track runner. So I transferred to Western Illinois, was a three-time All-American football player there, played 6 years in the NFL with St. Louis Rams, Oakland Raiders, Kansas City Chiefs, Cleveland Browns, retired in 2008, and been an owner of Acceleration Sports Performance ever since, the same facility that I trained at when I was an athlete, and we've been doing it for 10 years. What we focus on at the early levels is more efficient biomechanics, so teaching an athlete how to run properly, and as they progress in their careers, working more fast twitch, speed, and agility work, all the way to the pro level, which is going to be more sports specialization.
Yes, it's definitely, JR, one of the areas that we talked about on the Sports Doctor for decades. When I go back to my mentor, the great kinesiotherapist Bob Guida, that's when we were working with the 85 Super Bowl Bears, man. You know?
Yeah, there it is.
Man, and Fensick and Walter Payton. And Acceleration, again, like you said, been around for a decade, one of the most important topics to me, the high-performance youngster. It's an awful lot of what about our book, hashtag Hey Sports, Sports Parents, where we're talking about preventing injuries as best we can on the left, and we're talking about enhancing performance on the right, including everything from what might be the best shoe for your son or daughter. What are some of the exercises that really make sense? Now, you were known, I think, as maybe the fastest fullback, weren't you, in the NFL for a while?
I was. I don't know if that's an oxymoron, being the fastest fullback, but it was quite a compliment. Coach Marks, the St. Louis Rams head coach, and the Bears told me that.
Yes. The athletes who went to the combine training for the NFL, you were at Acceleration ever since you were in what, junior high school?
Yes, I started going into my high school year. So my eighth grade year, I was the second slowest kid on my football team. The only kid I was faster one was Jason Music. He was probably about 5 foot tall, 5 foot wide. And I just went back home, looked in the phone book. What's that?
I said the fridge was quick as a cat, remember? 5 feet tall, maybe 6 feet tall, 5 feet
He was probably
wide.
Faster than me. So I just started training. I really wanted to be a standout football player. It was my passion. I got cut in every other sport. I got cut in basketball. All the other sports had cuts. Football, if you tried out, you made the team. So I really developed a passion. I needed direction. And that main direction is I wasn't an efficient player. I believe I had the talent and the skill, but I just wasn't moving the way I was supposed to move. So
Acceleration. Now, you're a great example. You're a great example, JR, of something we pay big attention to, which is the mental game. the whole mental side, like you said. Gee, I didn't make this team, and I was slowest guy on that team, and I, you know, and you ended up being one of the best all-around athletes in the National Football League. You know, a multiple sport athlete in high school. But I want to really, really stress the mental side of things when we're talking about you know, overcoming obstacles, et cetera. What's the website of Acceleration in Naperville, my home, Diggs?
It's www.accelerationpro.com.
Okay, what are some of the sports? I think I've had some of my figure skaters floating around with you over the years, as well as, I don't know, tennis players, some of my soccer players. What sports do you guys pay attention to? My understanding is you pay attention to all sports. You're training the athlete.
Yes, it's all sports. If you're a ping pong player, we train you. If you're a football player, volleyball, soccer player, we train you. If you have any movement in your activity, we make it efficient.
Major key. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We're in Chicago now. We're going out to the West Coast in a little bit. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can go to radio shows. You can go back over 10 years. And I listen to all sorts of experts on all sorts of topics, whether it's wellness, whether it's fitness, or whether, like we're talking today, the high-performance youngster, nutrition, et cetera. You can go over to newspaper articles, magazine articles, and read about everything from specialization to what is the best shoe for your son or daughter to one of my most popular articles, Women in High Heels, Accepting the Challenge. We get a lot of guests on Twitter. We got a lot of action going on Twitter, 34,000 followers, at SportsDoc, DOC Radio. I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter, authors, athletes, others, inventors that we've had that have joined us. So you could check out those sites. We're talking J.R. Nicklaus, you know, former National Football League player, originally a Buckeye, then you transferred out of there if you were 18th string. You know, you went, did you go to Western Michigan?
Western Illinois.
Western
in
Illinois.
Macomb, Illinois. Okay. Farmland.
Okay. Yes, and the idea again of any sport, like you mentioned, you know, hey, the ping pong player, some of the fastest hand-eye coordination international athletes I've ever seen. By the way,
we're
ping pong players. You know, just to throw that out to you. What are some of the things you're paying attention to when a mom or dad brings their son or daughter in? And let me ask you first off, the ages that you guys pay attention to.
So we start at age 8. We feel they're at an age that they're mentally ready to accept the coaching. And then
good
we
choice.
Progress all the way. What's that?
Good choice, paying attention to as early as 8 years old. You know, one of the hot topics I'm going to ask you about is big topic. It's a chapter in my book. I call it the prodigy sports, where we're dealing. You know, I've been putting orthotics in 10-year-old figure skaters for decades. Mm-hmm. You know, Evan Lysacek, who grew up in Naperville, Illinois, was the 2010 men's Olympic gold medalist. He was 10 years old when I put orthotics in his skate. And gymnastics, even tennis and soccer, where we see, you know, the old four sport sweater athlete, it seems, you know, almost as a relic as specialization has become, you know, such a challenge. So what are you paying attention to when you're seeing initially that young athlete coming to see you guys?
So we want to see how balanced they are. Are they one-dimensional in their movement? So, like you said, sports are so specialized now. So we want to almost cross-train the body when they come in. If they're soccer players, we want to train them in a different way soccer players train. I believe each sport only trains about 60 to 70% of your athleticism. We want to train 100%, especially if they're a developing,
that's a great
growing
point.
Athlete. So
that's
pretty big for us. But we'll look at their mechanics. We want to see how efficient of a sprinter they are. We want to see how they change directions. Do they take false steps or delayed steps? We want to see their stretch reflex, and that's how much time you're on the ground when you're doing a movement. We want to see your jump form. Do you
knees cave in, you know, which is leaking energy and it's setting you up for injury. We want to see all those. And our goal is to strengthen and mobilize the body that it's powerful and efficient. So we'll take them all through that, and then we really develop a plan based on their age, what they're doing outside of our center, how mentally strong they are, because that, you know, if a kid doesn't really want to work that hard, but he still needs this stuff or not, we're not going to overpush him in a way that he's not enjoying his time with us. So we keep that mental side in as well. We try to make it fun for our youth athletes, but by the time you get to the pros, that's your business. You better get ready to go.
Yes, I think the idea of keeping it fun is a big part of the book. It's a big part of all aspects of young sports medicine, where overkill, one of the reasons I wrote the book is right now there's an epidemic of overuse injuries, repetitive motion injuries, let alone, you know, the burnout. I'll start singing the song to you guys, you know, the foot bones connected to the ankle bones, connected to the knee bone. Paying attention to body type. Is this kid pronated or flat footed? Do they have knocked knees? Are they hyper flexible? Are they rigid? My mentor, Bob Guida, the best athletes in the world, the first thing he would do is ask, let's see you balance on one foot. Let's see you do a squat on one foot balancing. And I'm a very, very big advocate. In my book, JR, I have a chapter called The Two Essential Exercises. Being a little facetious. But one of them is rubber band foot ankle strengthening exercise, and the other is all sorts of balance and proprioceptive work. And again, I like your point of where you want to train the opposite. You want to work the different parts of the body because overuse, like we said, is just rampant with some of these schedules. Now, I'm going to ask you, because you pay attention to it, you know, how's your sports psychology skills with the families and the parents?
Oh, I love that stuff. I minored in psychology just because I loved it as an athlete. I figured, you know, for me, I felt early on I was kind of a head case. I was either in the zone or I couldn't catch a cold. If the ball was in there, I'd drop it. So I actually minored in psychology just because of my own well-being. I wanted to master that mental mindset. I wanted to get in the zone quicker and stuff. So we help our athletes out with that. We try to combat maybe a very, you know, different parent, you know, that really wants to push their athletes, and maybe the athlete doesn't want it as much as the parent, and vice versa. So, you know, we have to balance all that out because, I mean, training is 50% science, 50% motivation. You can have the best training program in the world, but if the kid's not motivated to do it, it's not effective. And same thing, if it's only 100% motivation, no science, kids are going to be jacked up to probably get hurt and get worse. So we have to balance.
Who's some of the trainers who are working with you, JR? Who's some of your staff members?
My brother's our head guy. He was a strength coach at Northern Illinois, as well as Robert Morris in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Shane O'Donnell from Illinois State, Ryan Struper from Illinois State, Jimmy Carter from Illinois. So all these guys are with exercise science or kinesiology backgrounds, former college strength coaches with us. I'm the only one that wasn't a college strength coach. I was, you know, probably the most underqualified trainer we have. So I made sure I put a good little squad together. I played in the NFL, and they coached, you know, college athletes, and now we really specialize in more youth development.
Yes, I think the fact that you've been there, you know, my co-author of the book, Sharky Zartman, is a Hall of Fame beach volleyball player, national team player, and both her daughters were Division I athletes. The pressure, the challenges, it was big, tremendous when you were in school and in the pros. Now it's times five in so many areas. How is the relationship, do you find, with the sports medicine community, the coaching community? I mean, Naperville, you know, I've had the mayors on. It's a super sports town, the super fitness town. How's you guys been around for a long time? Are you still in the Players Club in Naperville?
Yeah, we're Players Indoor Sports in Naperville behind 34 and 59. So it's right there.
How's the relationship? with
it's
those
good.
Communities?
You know, I feel mostly in the neighborhood or in the area, everybody has the athlete's best interest in mind. You know, you'll have some coaches here and there that just want all the control and kind of want their athlete to do everything with them. But for the most part, it's all about balance. They'll do their sports with them. They'll do their sports training with us. And, you know, God forbid they get hurt, then they, you know, go and get healed all up. And, you know, it creates a team unity where we're all trying to help the athlete out. We're not trying to do anything that we're not masters of. So, you know, it's just different components because you need a little bit of everything to be the best version of yourself you can
yes.
be. And that's our goal with every kid we train.
You find also, I remember even in the past when I've been associated with you guys, that you would pay attention to nutrition and, again, all other aspects of these young boys and girls. What's the percentage in boys and girls with you guys, with the young athletes, roughly?
I'd say 60% female, 40% male.
Really?
Female sports are crazy competitive in Naperville now. And the thing about male sports, the high schools are trying to do a lot of the training now. But for females, they don't have as much training available. So women's volleyball and women's soccer are probably our one and two most popular sports right now that we train.
Yes. We've been putting orthotics in the shoes of these girls. As a matter of fact, I can count on one hand. Here's another pearl for you, JR. I can count on one hand or less how many ACL injuries and tears I've seen. Non-contact when that young girl had orthotics in her shoes. And she did really structural and biomechanical training. We still see four or five times these knee problems and ACL injuries, girls to boys, because of the biomechanics. It's interesting to see again. I agree with you, the competitiveness and the skills of these young girls, they've really caught up big time in all sports, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. And you're expected, if you're a female soccer player, you're supposed to commit usually about your freshman, sophomore year. So that's even earlier than most football players commit. So the pressure to develop early in that sport is real. So they join us sooner because they have to get right. I mean, they have to be faster, quicker, more explosive than their competition, and they're 14 years old.
Yes. Well, this is, again, you know, ideally in sports medicine, I think in coaching, yourself, you're a great example. We would love everybody to play a few different sports, absolutely,
yes.
as their body grows. But the reality is, like I mentioned in my title, Prodigy Sports, if you're a young ballerina or a figure skater or a gymnast, even, again, soccer or tennis, yeah, that's great, Dr. Weil, but I don't want to play any other sport. That's when we would, years, decades ago, look to people like yourself to really work mm-hmm. with this boy or girl as an athlete to try to get them, hey, look, injuries happen anyway, but this overuse, overkill, overstress is at epidemic levels because the schedules are kind of crazy at younger and younger ages, right?
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Just, you know, I have three kids, and just seeing their schedules right now, they're 10, 8, and 6. I mean, I never had those schedules when I was there.
You better get the van ready. J.R. Nicklaus.
I know. No, I got the minivan all set.
I'm telling you, man. I want to thank you so much. Give me the website one more time for Acceleration.
Of course. It's www.accelerationpro.com.
All right. Thanks so much. Acceleration Performance in Naperville, J.R. Nicklaus. J.R., hold on a second. Everybody, we're going to be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker, call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com. Hey, everybody, we are back. I don't know if there was a glitch or so. It's Dr. Denise McDermott is joining me. She's returning to the Sports Doctor from the West Coast. She's a child and adult psychiatrist. She's the author, Mental Health and How to Survive. And, again, she's a contributor to hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Her chapter, Youth Athletics as Mind Medicine, it's a great title. Hey, Dr. Denise, she's a podcaster, too. Welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And, you know, I grew up in the Chicago area, so I have a special place in my heart for you and your work.
Well, we're sending out good vibes, absolutely, out to the West Coast with you. I thought we're going to jump right in. Give us a little bit of a quickie background, past and present, with you, with your adult and child psychiatry?
Well, I've been in practice here in Manhattan Beach and Redondo Beach since 2001. I did my fellowship at UCLA for child psychiatry, my adult psychiatry at Emory. I'm super passionate, Dr. Bob, just like you, with wellness, holistic health, integrated medicine, and prevention. And so that's how I've always practiced psychiatry. I'm not known as the one who just gets the prescription pad out. Of course, I have that as one of my tools in my toolbox, but I believe in fitness, mindfulness, nutrition, and I'm completely aligned with your show, and it's just such an honor to be on the show again.
It's great to have you, and again, that's one of the things that I think really attracted you to me was this holistic approach. We talk so much on the Sports Doctor about the marriage of Eastern and Western medicine, both in sports and all areas, wellness, fitness, and the complementary medicine. And we also talk about, pay big attention to, this crazy pill society. It's one of my pet peeves on the Sports Doctor. Only the United States and New Zealand allow prescription drug advertising on television. It's just ad nauseum. It doesn't stop. One of the chapters in my book, of course, is Youth, Sports, and Drugs. It starts early. And we're in a pain pill panic in the United States with this opioid crisis. So natural methods I'm such a huge fan of. And again, when you find acceptance in your field, you know, we talk so much about the mental game, both in sports and out, that the holistic approach, your approach, really gaining lots of attention?
You know what? Where I live in Southern Cal, it's like very much a part of what everyone's thinking. We have integrated mindfulness and meditation in our children's schools, which I think is just fantastic.
Wonderful.
So they haven't, yeah, they have that. And then they also don't allow sugar snacks at my son's school because they just are trying to teach the kids about inflammation. And, you know, I'm not saying people never have a cupcake or anything at these parties, but they're really trying to teach the children from early on good, healthy habits.
Well, you know, for 15 years, I've been screaming and talking about childhood obesity on the Sports Doctor. And it does still today, this is a gigantic problem. And the paying more and more attention, healthy habits. You know, it's interesting. We all knew, we still know, that fast food, you know, junk food wasn't good for us. And nobody, that wasn't a secret. What we didn't know was the good old American diet was poison in so many ways with the sodas and the sugars and et cetera. And we've got to start early in the schools, both, number one, keeping these kids active, you know, not cutting out gym class. At the same time that we're trying to pay more and more attention to eating and eating properly. Because ironically, even though there's a physical therapy center on every corner or a gym almost on every other corner, we still got half the population and a third of the kids, you know, dealing with obesity. When you were on my show last and you talked mm-hmm. about the challenge of bullying with children, and we talked about how over 50% of it was weight-related in so many areas, and you talked about the online crazy challenges today, and the again, with youth sports in mind and crazy parents in mind, and the fact that you deal with both populations, I'm raising a glass to you.
Well, you know, and thank you, Dr. Bob. I'm also a mother of a 9-year-old. And I think one of the big modern day challenges that we're all having as a society is since the late 90s, with the introduction of social media and YouTube, and I'm not against those things. Those are here to stay. But we have to have a way that we as parents, coaches, and doctors teach our children how to self-regulate with food, self-regulate with fitness. And I can just tell you, I walk the walk as a mom of a 9-year-old. On the weekends, Dr. Bob, I make sure they turn the screens off. I do these 30-hour play dates where I have 4 9-year-old boys over. They do laser tag. They go swimming. I actually even moved into a whole new complex because I wanted my son to be outside more, hitting the pool, getting the fresh air. You know, when we were kids, we played hide and go seek. We ran the neighborhoods. Kids are more sedentary these days, even though we have all the knowledge, because of all the electronics. And so I think it's a real battle for us as parents, doctors, physicians, and, you know, all of us.
And grandparents.
Yeah, grandparents.
Now I see it as, yes, I should have thrown that parentheses in the title of the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents - Grandparents, as we're getting younger and younger and or older, but where I see, you know, I have a 10-year-old grandson. I have an almost 7-year-old grandson. Besides a 2.5-year-old and a 16-year-old teenager, the challenge of social media, the physical and mental challenges of what this is doing with all this screen time, we have no idea except to try to pay big attention to that term you used. What is it? Self-regulation?
Self-regulation, and self-efficacy. And I want to let everyone know out there, there's this incredible Dr. Shatkin. I did my child psychiatry at UCLA. So everyone listening, if you're struggling to just have your child thrive, and by the way, my book is Mental Health and How to Thrive, but How to Survive probably would have been a better title. especially in this day and age. But one of my colleagues wrote the most amazing book, Dr. Bob, that I think you would love. It's called Born to be Wild. And it's Dr. Jess Shatkin, S-H-A-T-K-I-N. And if you go to my website, drdenisemd.com, I did an interview with him. He is at NYU. He trained in child psychiatry. He did the last 25 years of research, which supports like how much sleep our kids should get, how much fitness, how to integrate holistic health, all with data. And there was even a study done that Dr. Shatkin mentioned at UCLA where they had kids playing against the computer. They didn't know if it was the computer or the peer. And as they were losing in a video game or being told mean things, they did an MRI study that linked up and showed that there was MRI changes in the brain, and as well as children experiencing physical pain. So I think what's happened, Dr. Bob, is technology has gone faster than we know how to handle it. And I'm super passionate. That's why I talk a lot about mindfulness, meditation. And by the way, since you and I've spoken, I just got invited this fall. I'm going over to India, to Dharamsala, to speak at the Dalai Lama's Body, Mind, Life conference on nurturing the child's mind. And
wow.
So I'm super, super passionate, Dr. Bob, about figuring out ways we can integrate the stuff that we're talking about, how to make the right choice in anti-inflammatory food, how to get outside more, you know, how to make eye contact and say you're sorry instead of texting someone. I mean, society needs to kind of go back to old-fashioned values and keep it really simple. But
what's
what
the name of
this
book?
But it's called Born to be Wild.
Wasn't that a great song?
Yeah.
That's the theme song from the great movie. Right. Born to be Wild.
Yeah, but by the way, Yeah, by the way Dr. Shakin wrote the book, you guys, it's so entertaining. His taglines are entertaining. There's data, there's information. He talks about, you know, I love his book so much. It took him 7 years to write. I mean, if you're going to recommend one book, I mean, I'm all about let's get the data out there, but you would love to interview him too, by the way. So anyway,
you know, it's funny you mentioned.
Go ahead.
It's funny you mentioned the a word that I don't think medicine knew how to spell decades ago, which is mindfulness. Everywhere you look, it's a topic that's brought up. My first guest, who was a National Football League star, trained some of the best youth athletes in the country, J.R. Nicklaus, talked about he didn't make this team and he didn't make the other team, and he talked about working through it, being strong enough mentally, and you know, in the area again of youth sports. And the challenges that we're looking at regarding trying to prevent problems, trying to keep attention spans focused, is again this whole mental game and the mindfulness. How do you describe, or rather, give a definition for what mindfulness is? Is that being in the moment?
Well, it's being in the moment, but it's also a non-judgmental view of oneself. So you're actually, it's almost like if you could, I describe it with kids, like you're here, like if you are in my office right here, you and I are sitting there having a conversation, but how do you almost like imagine yourself looking at yourself and just paying attention and like just having a non-judgmental and an awareness in the moment? Because your whole
life
can be mindful, right? I mean, your whole life can be the meditation, right? It's not this kind of myth that you have to sit there and go om or just do your breath work. By the way, I'm completely all about people doing meditation and all different ways of doing it. But mindfulness is actually being present in this moment and then also not judging, like allowing certain feelings and emotions and actions to come up and trying to have a place of non-attachment.
I find that we're going to talk more about it in the next segment. It's a profound point. Non-judgmental awareness, being in the moment, when we talk about and even think about the judgments that we're always putting on each other. And again, when we're talking, whether it's a youth sports or just life, it seems to be a major, major key. We're going to be right back. Dr. Denise McDermott, child and adult psychiatrist, ask her about a topic in the book, Youth Athletics as Mind Medicine. The Sports Doctor. Everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. Goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, Experts Speak Out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about 6 parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, we're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We're speaking with Dr. Denise McDermott. She's an adult child psychiatrist, author of Health and How to Survive. We had her on, I guess it was a year ago, maybe a little longer than that. Dr. Denise contributed a segment in our Ask the Experts to our book, Hashtag Hate Sports Parents. And the title of the segment, wanted to have you talk about that a little, Youth Athletics as Mind Medicine. I think it fits right in to what we're talking about. What were you stressing in that segment?
Well, what I was actually stressing is that if your child... First of all, one of the big emphasis I had is that we have to remember that one size does not fit all. And I know you know that as a podiatrist, but from a sports perspective...
Right. So no one shoe size does not fit all.
And so I like to use terms like the word neurostyle, because we have to remember that being active, being outside... in itself is good for health. It's good for physical health. It's good for mental health. But I think what happens is a lot of parents try to fit their child into the, you know, Johnny must play baseball or Susie must do cheerleading. And so I wanted to emphasize in my part of Ask the Expert is we'll talk about the mind medicine piece, but one of the most profound things I wanted to say is that we all have our own neurostyle, all of us. And that is the way we process and perceive the world. And so some kids, because I'm an adult and child psychiatrist, some children have ADD or they have sensory or integration issues or Asperger's, which is now known under one umbrella, autism. And so some children, it might be overstimulating for them to play on team sports. So I think when you're a parent, you've got to be mindful when your child's a toddler. My son did this little cute sports camp where they get exposed to everything, and then you're trying to figure out which sport your kid's going to be in. Make sure you try out individual sports, team sports, and you don't try to live vicariously through your child and assume that they're going to play the sport you did, okay? And so neurostyle and the way we process and perceive information affects what sports are best fit, what jobs are best fit. And then I think, Dr. Bob, our children need to find some sort of, you want to call it even like a moving meditation, because to me, sports are that. You get in your zone, you're not only getting exercise, you're doing good stuff for your physical well-being, but from a mental health standpoint, your cortisol is getting balanced, you know, you're less prone to having depression or anxiety, even if you're genetically predisposed, you know, we have to use fitness and exercise as our mind medicine. And I think you and I are both passionate about kids not being just hooked up 24/7 to YouTube. I call it the University of YouTube, right? And so to me, youth athletics are something that we need to find for our children at a young age. And also remember, not everyone is going to end up playing professional sports, but it's actually just something from a wellness perspective that we as parents, grandparents, and doctors and coaches need to emphasize.
But as we've put more and more pressure at younger and younger ages, again, one of the premises of the book and that I've been talking about for 100 years is the epidemic of overuse, repetitive motion injuries, You know, a year ago, there was a front cover of Time magazine. It was a little leaguer on the front cover, and the caption was the $15 billion a year youth sports industry. And everything that comes with it, the overscheduling and the overkill and the mental pressure and crazy parents and just overdoing it. And I think that that's some of the things that we really feel that some sort of evenness and like what you're talking about, where we might not be pushing. You know, my co-author, Sharkey Zartman, you know Sharkey, even on his show,
oh, yeah,
the radio
yeah.
host. UCLA, a Hall of Fame volleyball player. Now, both her girls became Division I athletes and volleyball players. We'll have to ask her whether she, you know, pushed them too far in one direction. I'm just kidding, Sharkey.
Sharkey, actually, I had lunch with Sharkey, and she's here, a neighbor here, because I live in Manhattan Beach.
Yes.
And Sharkey has an incredible attitude. I mean, you know, I played varsity soccer all 4 years. I could have played in college. I was a lifeguard for 8 years. I'm swimming 6 days a week now and doing Pilates twice a week. But I can tell you, the reason why I said all that is I have coached things, not on the professional level that she has. But I'll tell you, Sharky's got an amazing attitude. I love her attitude, the way she, her coaching attitude. It's not, it's to excel, but it's not, like, there's joy plus excelling. It's like, how can
Big
you
time.
Thrive? But she'll have fun. She wants people to have a well-balanced life.
She does the first section of the book, kind of Sports Parenting 101, where she talks about all of these aspects, again, of having fun, of finding what's the best level that might be comfortable for this boy or girl, delving into things, even involving these abusive, I call them Svengali-like coaches, these overbearing, over-pushing concerns that cause all sorts of problems. I've got a gal coming on in a few weeks. She's talking about food concerns and eating disorders with some of these young female athletes who are always being hassled. You're too heavy. You got to get, you know, lose weight and all of these kinds of pressures. And I'm sure that the family unit part of a lot of this, and again, Sharkey lived it. She was an athlete herself. She was a parent of one. The family unit concerns, coach, parent, young boy or girl. I'm sure you're in the middle of all of that when you're dealing with young athletes, aren't you?
Oh, my goodness. Plus, you have to remember where I live. I live in Manhattan Beach. I live in Southern Cal. I mean, this is where the volleyball players are born. The girls have to wear those little brief outfits. I work with a lot of people who have anorexia, bulimia. You know, boys here are getting teased for being overweight because people are pretty fit and pretty lean here in Southern Cal. And Manhattan Beach is almost like something out of, I don't know if you saw the show Big Little Lies. I mean,
fabulous show.
Yeah, fabulous show, but that's similar to where I live. And so, and I'm not saying people aren't lovely everywhere. All the people that live here would agree with me that there's like a lot of pressure to look at.
Tell me some of the bullets. In a few minutes, give me some bullets with your book and give me your website again, Denise. They could find out about your book and these other things.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Do. What's the website?
Okay, so it's drdenisemd.com, drdenisemd.com. And on that site, I have a documentary, Meditation and Psychiatry. I have an ebook, Mental Health and How to Thrive. I'm taking a little bit of a break, but I've got 34, 35 great podcast interviews with professional athletes. I've interviewed people that are Buddhist scholars, people that have survived bullying.
Hey, you had the sports doctor.
Yeah.
You had the sports doctor.
Yes, and I have you on this show, and thank you for having me on yours. And then Dr. Bob,
I always told you we would trade radio shows.
Yes, listen to this, Dr. Bob. I also just got asked, they filmed in my Redondo Beach office, there might be a pilot comedy sitcom called Temporary Insanity that I might help advise.
Wow.
So I just, if you go onto my website, drdenisemd.com, you can see me helping pitch the show. And it's near and dear to my heart. I hope a show like this comes out because we want something with humor, but then we want to bridge out into the world.
That's why we put cartoons. We put cartoons in the book, you know, again, something with humor. Dr. Denise McDermott, time flew by like I knew it would. And it's been a pleasure having you back. We'll have to have you on back again. Have a very successful trip when you take part in that program in India. Quickie, one last time, the website.
DrDeniseMD.com. And thank you so much, Dr. Bob, for everything
hold
you
on.
Do.
Hold on, Dr. Denise. Everybody, we'll be right back with the Sports Doctors In segment, The Sports Doctor. Live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. What a great show today, JR and Dr. Denise. It's always great to have some of the contributors to the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. If you want to email me with a question that we can include upcoming shows, DRRYLWEIL, sportsdoctor@yahoo.com, DRRYLWEIL. sportsdoctor@yahoo.com. Again, the Sports Doctors In segment, where we answer some emails, give you a little heads up who's coming on the show next week. Jason Parker. Jason's the author of Engaged Athletics, a great book that talks about all aspects of youth athletics. He's a athlete, former athlete himself. Chris Gellings, he's the CEO of Ticket Weirdo, where you can get all sorts of online sports-related tickets for just about any kind of athletic event, as well as all sorts of shows, the entertainment world. That'll be fun. The following week's July 4th, so we're going to have a repeat show, and we're going to repeat the show where my co-author, Sharky Zartman, joins me talking about our commiseration on the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. And Mark Kovacs, the high-performance trainer in multi-sports, but with specific attention to the world of tennis, will be joining us. So let's answer a couple of emails here. George says, my son plays high school soccer. He's always dealing with shin pain. They say shin splint. You know, George, I'll give you right off the bat a statistic that about 90% of persistent shin problems are foot-related. Very, very common, the persistent, ongoing, repetitive shin problems. Shin splints is not a diagnosis. It could be a stress fracture. It could be muscle tendonitis inflammation. So you want to get a specific, you want to rule out bone-related stress fracture, and then you want to really pay big attention to foot mechanics. Pronated flat-type feet are famous for shin problems because of the torque of the lower leg as the foot collapses and puts stress on the muscle and tendon that controls that. Those joggers out there who might hear people who are foot slapping as they're running along, that's the muscle that many times gets overused and starts to stress the shin area. So a big part of the answer, look at orthotics and foot ankle lower leg strengthening. these are the two big parts of not only getting rid of, but preventing shin problems. Angie says, I'm a 65-year-old walker. Can orthotics help knee and hip arthritis? Angie, yes, they can, sometimes dramatically. Almost always, the combination of getting the proper walking or sports shoe, but in your particular case, the proper walking shoe, depending on your foot mechanics, do you have high arches, do you have flat feet, what kind of flexibility do you have in your feet, for example, what's your history with the knee and hip arthritis. But when we're talking knee and hip arthritis and we're talking osteoarthritis, which is the wear and tear of the joints, often positioning and functional instability really contributes to this, where we've got abnormal positioning, excessive twisting of the knees, stress of the hips. So one of the roles of orthotics when done properly is to put the foot and lower leg in its proper alignment, reducing stress. Again, like I mentioned to many of my patients, I used to make fun of Dr. Scholl's years and years ago. Now their commercials get it right, where they talk about the relationship of the foot and lower leg. So absolutely see podiatry, pay attention to the role of orthotics that can make a big difference. That along with balance work and strengthening almost always, which fits in seeing a good physical therapist and then getting that combination foot and leg alignment, control abnormal positioning a la orthotics, strengthening and balance work for those knees, ankles, hips, low back. Tom says, my 13-year-old daughter has knee trouble. They talked about ligamentous laxity. I'm going to tell you the same thing, Tom, we just talked about a 65-year-old. Ligamentous laxity, however, a looseness of the joints, you know, people used to say, hey, you know, the guy's double-jointed. Many times it can mask imbalances because we might see, again, a very flat-footed, ligamentous lax young boy or girl whose mom says, you know, he's not complaining. She's not complaining because the tendons and muscles just collapse almost like rubber bands. However, they do contribute to twist torque action of the knee. Half the running jumping athletes I've seen over the decades who are girls, I would see them because their knees hurt, because they have knee tendonitis. It's not that they have a structural knee like they got injured and they needed surgery. This is many times positional. So we've had great success with that combination of prescription orthotics to control excessive foot collapse, control some of that extra motion related to laxity, and give better structural integrity. And we combine that with physical therapy and strengthening of all these areas, you can make a tremendous improvement. Sam says, my two sons are 10 years old. Their heels hurt on and off. They've been actively playing soccer. Sam, one of the largest growth centers in the foot is in the back of the heel. There's a condition called Severs, S-E-V-E-R-S, syndrome. It's inflammation of that growth center, and you aggravate it when you put a 10-year-old, 12-year-old in cleats. So you want to be able to get away from cleats as best you can. Check with podiatry besides pediatrics to see your sons, their foot mechanics. Persistent heel problems when it keeps coming and going. We look at orthotics, heel cups, in order to control the motion that aggravates these areas. This condition can be initiated with any jumping, running activity, especially if we see it's persistent. It can come and go. It could fool you where your son or daughter is complaining, then they're not. So when it's been ongoing or persistent, you really want to check out the foot mechanic connection and also the proper shoe connection. But get them out of cleats. Respect the fact that if these things are active, we've got to back off. Many times we need a few weeks off of running, jumping activities for that boy or girl so we can allow these areas to calm down. And then many times we'll see if there is a foot mechanics component, then we will pay attention We've had great success over the decades where we use custom orthotics, and then it doesn't matter what the sport is. Time flies. I want to thank everybody for listening. Again, thank our guests, Dr. Denise McDermott, J.R. Nicklaus. And again, we'll catch everybody next time. Again, go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, or hashtag HeySportsParents. See you next week, everybody. Thanks.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.